independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Keith Law joining us on the HRNP guest line, covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic. Keith, is it fair to say the Major League Baseball draft is the most exciting part of the season in your perspective?
No. I like the draft.
Go ahead.
Kind of exhausting.
Yeah.
Also.
Even though they shrunk it to 20 rounds, huh? Still takes a lot of time, doesn't it?
It's after the 10th round. It's mostly college seniors, tough sign guys. We have some of the drafts and follows again, but yeah, it's the 90% of my work before and after the draft revolves around the top 5 or 6 rounds. So it's not so much that, it's a lot of names. It's a lot of guys to keep track of over the course of a pretty short season. And it all happens at once, right? The minor league stuff I do is constantly spread out over longer periods of time. But the draft, everything culminates in this singularity of the actual draft, which is just over, less than 48 hours. We get the whole thing finished. And then it's, on to the next year.
Yeah, it's taxing. Reading up on some of your work over the last few days, doing a good job covering it. Read what you wrote about Drew Gilbert, the Astros' first-round pick out of Tennessee, their cleanup hitter, the best college baseball team in the country. Jacob Melton, the Pac-12 Player of the Year, drafted in the second round. And then it seemed like a lot of big strike-throwing pitchers for the Astros from rounds 3 through 7, 8, whatever. How'd you think the Astros fared in their first 5, 7, 10 rounds?
I think it's fine. I think it's a good approach. Obviously, drafting, first of all, it's new for them, right, for this new regime to have all their picks back again. And I liked what they did with, especially with the first two picks, because even though they went college, and that's not a shock. I mean, James Click is not one of those guys who's only going to take college players, but I think there's more of a preference in that direction. Also, they have a new scouting staff. He finally got the chance to staff back up on the amateur side. And I think it's a little easier with a newer staff where you're still trying to implement a single philosophy across the entire, across all of those scouts to lean a little heavily towards the college side. But with Gilbert and Melton, I think there's upside there for both of those guys. Gilbert definitely stays up the middle. He can really hit. There could be some more power there if they work with him on his swing a little bit and he fills out more. And Jacob Melton is pretty toolsy also for a college player. Again, a guy I think where there's some risk. Obviously, he wouldn't be available in the second round if I thought he didn't have that. But there's star upside. If you're Houston, you are not looking for guys who'll just get to the big leagues, right? You want guys who will either potentially be above average or better regulars or who will have trade value. And I think they managed to do that across the board with the first 5 or 6 picks.
Take the first two picks, Keith, because there's been so many different comps, and maybe just give the listeners your idea of comps for each player as it relates to so that they get a better grasp of who these players could possibly be.
So Gilbert, like I was saying, he is a true center fielder. I actually saw him in high school as a pitcher as well. He's got a great arm, as you'd expect, and he can really play center. He can run, but he also just has really good instincts. He plays center field like a guy who's going to do so in the big leagues. I mean, they just look different when the reads and the instincts are already there. He's on the smaller side. He's only 5'9", but I do think he's going to get stronger. I like the swing. It's kind of doubles power right now, but if he ended up a 15 to 20 homer guy, I wouldn't be surprised. And between that, his feel for the strike zone and what he's going to provide on defense, that could very easily be an above average regular. Melton played a lot of center for Oregon State. There's mixed bag on whether he stays there, but he's definitely going to go out as a center fielder for sure. And what I really like about him is it's a power speed guy. He's a really good athlete. I think he's got a chance to get to 20 plus homers. He made a swing change. If you remember, Darwin Barney played a little bit for the Cubs. He was the coach at Oregon State, worked with Melton actually to just get him to stay back on the ball. He said, "You're a strong kid. Let's get you driving the ball more." He stayed back and became a much better power hitter over the last two seasons. And I wrote in my draft recap, 20 homers, 20 steals, that's the kind of player he could be. If he does that, stays in center, even if there is a little bit of swing and miss, I think that's guy with a chance to be an above average regular.
We had heard Melton and Benintendi. We had heard Gilbert and Brent Gardner. And I was like, I don't like the Brent Gardner comp. But if you got another Benintendi type guy, I don't think you're doing too badly.
Yeah, that's a terrible. I mean, I don't like comps.
Thank
you. And I mean, you gave the perfect. Honestly, you gave the perfect reason. Drew Gilbert is nothing like Brett Gardner. Like, that's a really bad.
I hated
kind
that.
Of lazy because they're why? Because they're left-handed and short. They're nothing like each other.
Good.
It's like when every Stanford right-hander is like Mike Mussina. Really? Because Mike Mussina is in the Hall of Fame.
Well, here in Houston, the fans are hoping that every Stanford quarterback's like Andrew Luck. So, Keith Law joining us on the HRMP guest line, covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic. Of course, Major League Baseball trade deadline, first time it's in August, August 2nd with the new CBA trying to control a certain day of the week. How do teams around Major League Baseball, because James Klick's saying that he's going to be aggressive, they were going to try to help this team and help their odds of winning a World Series. How do other teams around Major League Baseball view the Astros' minor league system, and how aggressive can they be? How good of a player can they try to get before the deadline?
Well, I mean, I could tell you, but probably better tell you how I view their minor league system, which is that it's weak. It has been weak for a while now. The loss of, obviously, they traded a lot of players, promoted some players, right? Traded a lot of players in a couple of very significant moves to win the World Championship, to get back to the World Series. So I do understand it. But then, between you know, really just not drafting that well towards the end of the Jeff Luhnow years, losing a bunch of draft picks, picking later in the round anyway, I think has really set them back pretty substantially. And it leaves them in a position where there isn't a lot there to go make an impact move, right? If they were going to try to go get a Brian Reynolds, let alone a Juan Soto, God only knows what that market's going to look like. But they'd have a hard time, I think. I mean, their best prospects coming into the year were Corey Lee, who you've gotten a brief look at. I don't think he's a star. He might be a regular. And Jeremy Pena, who I do like quite a bit, but also they're probably not willing to trade him. I'm not sure I'd be willing to trade him at this point unless it was to get his replacement. So if the Astros are going to make a trade at the deadline, it will probably be for something smaller, a more marginal piece, because that's what they could get with their prospects, or money. They could potentially just take on a contract from somewhere and say, we'll just take the rest of the money and give you less in return in prospects from our system.
Okay, with that being said, Keith, because I love your expertise on this, then of the players that we know of that have some value, I'm curious how much value you put on a Hunter Brown. And everybody says, should he be up this year? Is it okay to make him a relief pitcher if he's a starting pitcher? Then we hear, Diaz might have been the biggest steal in the Indians trade that they made a year ago. And this is a guy that other teams are going to look at favorably. And then, of course, the name that continues to be on everybody's lips is Leon. Trying to figure out where he plays is a big deal, too. But I'm curious your thoughts on those three in particular.
Yeah, I just saw two of those guys were in the futures game.
Yep.
Hunter Brown's a reliever. He just is. I don't see any chance that guy's going to have enough command to be able to start. I like him for what he is. It's a great arm, but the way that his arm works and where he is, given his age as well, and where the command is, it's probably just not happening at this point. Yeah, I would say it's more than time to say this is what you are. You are going to be a reliever, and we're going to put you in that role. Leon, I love the athleticism, and I do think you could probably just stick him in center and just call it a day. I know they've played with him in the infield, and I saw him a little bit at short in fall league. I mean, he was erratic. He could make some really tough plays, and then he would struggle with the routine ones, which is not surprising for a guy without experience at the position, but he's not hitting. That's the biggest problem. He's just not hitting enough. It doesn't matter if he plays center or if he plays second. He's got to produce a lot more at the plate. He's crazy speed. He's actually got quite a bit of power. But he's got to make more contact. And if you're not doing that well in AAA, guess what? It's quite a bit harder when you get to the majors. So I still like him. I still think he's one of their six or seven best prospects. But if you're thinking in terms of trade value, yeah, I think it's pretty limited. Yennier Diaz is probably a solid everyday guy, and I don't think a whole lot more than that. He's not a great defensive catcher. But also, teams don't care as much about catcher defense at this point, especially if we're getting the automated strike zone. There's a lot of teams that are sort of throwing up their hands and saying, can you hit? And can you just physically handle the position? He may be better cast as sort of a multi-position guy, a guy who catches part-time, plays a couple other positions for you, but has a little bit of thump to maybe be able to justify playing him occasionally at first base or at DH.
It feels almost, Keith, with Diaz, that it kind of depends on what position he is. Like, he's a pretty good catching prospect, but if he plays first base, maybe more mediocre. And you mentioned the defense. The Astros, it seems like they're one of the teams that still value defense where a lot of teams maybe don't.
I think that's accurate. And one of the things they've always liked about Corey Lee, and he crosses over regimes too, is they think he's a really good catcher. And based on what I've said, I've seen Corey Lee a couple times over the years, I think that's true. I think he is a definite catcher who you hope is going to just produce enough that'll make him a solid regular. I mean, Corey Lee, he's a big leaguer. He's probably a long-time big leaguer. But I feel very strongly he's going to stay behind the plate. I don't feel that way about Yainer Diaz. And, I mean, that's probably why he was available in the first place, where he's more of a, maybe he can catch, but he also hits enough that he's got to, you know, if he's got to play 30 games for you at first or DH, that's fine too.
Keith, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking a few minutes on a very busy week. Get some rest. Hope you recover.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
You got it. It's Keith Law, covers Major League Baseball, the MLB draft for The Athletic. Hunter Brown is a reliever. We'll discuss next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.